to read from John's first epistle and the third chapter. I'll read from the beginning of the chapter, but I'll focus on verses 4 through to 9. John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. This, I'm sure you will agree, is a very challenging reading. Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and whoever is born of God does not sin. Well, how many of us read that and thought, dear, where do I stand with the Lord? And it does us good, I think, to ponder and reflect the sincerity of our faith. Make your calling and your election sure. Now let's remember, John does not contradict himself, much less the Holy Spirit who inspired him, only a few chapters before. In verse 8 of that first chapter he writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, let's remember that the same John who wrote those words also wrote the words that I read to begin with. He is not writing this to people who are utterly untouched by the fall of Adam, for the simple reason that there aren't any. It would be an audience of zero. But I think it's worth remembering something of the context into which John is writing. We're not too sure about it, but almost certainly these people were being infected by Gnosticism, which is really a mixture of theology with Greek notions of matter and spirit. And it might be that these false teachers, against whom this letter is an assault, are arguing that it doesn't really matter what you do in the body. You know, we are spiritual beings, and one day we will leave this physical world and enter the spiritual world, and we'll be in heaven kind of floating around. So what we do now in this body doesn't matter. So you can live as you please, as I'm sure those false teachers did. But of course, the gospel will always have an effect upon a believer's behaviour. If it doesn't have an effect upon a believer's behaviour, it's because it isn't a believer. It's just a churchgoer, or an adherent, or a Bible reader, or a debater. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and that is what sin is. Some commentators suggest that the committing here is quite a strong word. It's not talking about people, you know, who kind of stumble and repent or regret it, but people who have a hardened attitude to sin. You know, we cannot be free of sin this side of death. Not totally free. We are being sanctified. We are being transformed. We are being renewed. We are having the old nature chiselled away. But it's a slow, lifelong process. Now, one extreme says you'll never make any progress, so don't bother trying. Another extreme says try to be perfect now. Well, I think the Bible would say that, yes, we are being sanctified. But we are moving away from that kind of hardened attitude towards sin where we don't care. When we know that we've sinned, the Spirit within, the Holy Spirit within, grieves. I would have us on our knees repenting, the tears flowing. Not taking God's grace for granted, but throwing ourselves again at His mercy and in His love. Remember how He begins the chapter. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. When we sin and we grieve our Father, knowing how much He loves us, of course we grieve ourselves over it. But these false teachers do not grieve over sin. Their hearts have become calloused. They may even enjoy doing it. They certainly justify doing it. False theology will always justify evil. And yet John also points out, the Lord Jesus was manifested, revealed, incarnated maybe, to take away our sins. He was without sin. We were singing about that not long ago. He who abides in Him does not sin. Well, that's what we ought to be. That ought to be a description of us. But if we do, then we confess, He will forgive. But if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. But if we do, He will lift us back up. But if we do, in other words, don't sin. But if you do, there's grace enough to have you back. There ought to be an impact in the way you think, in the way you speak, in the way you live. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Well, I don't think anybody here has seen Him, but we've known Him. And if we abide in Him, we begin to love what He loves and hate, that's the word Scripture uses, hate what He hates. And I think that this passage really ought to be seen in the context of the false teachers, because he says, little children, there's that pastoral, fatherly expression again, let no one deceive you. The deceivers are saying, it doesn't matter. Oh, don't worry about it. Who cares? John cares. The Holy Spirit cares. The Lord Jesus cares. The Father who sent Him cares. And the real believer cares about the state of his relationship with God and how he behaves. How he behaves when no one's looking. And those who are righteous will practice righteousness. It's not just a theological concept, a lovely idea upon which to reflect. It's something we can actually put into practice. Righteous living, good living, honest living, godly living. In verse 8, he brings Satan into it. He who sins is of the devil, because that's what the devil does. He sinned from the beginning, and those who sin are of him. Those so-called Christian teachers who justify sinful behaviour, well, I guess it means they're of him as well. And yet, terrifying though that really is, John reminds us straight away, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan would corrupt, thwart, hinder, destroy, spoil. But Jesus came that ambition might not be achieved, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. The life of God is in the believer. And would have us walk according to God's way and speak according to God's way and think according to God's way. Then he says, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. That's a very high standard. There is, of course, one respect, and I chose that first song deliberately. As far as the court of heaven is concerned, we are not sinners. Now, as far as my diary is concerned, I am a sinner. I've sinned today, I'll probably sin tomorrow. But my status is that I'm not a sinner. I'm reconciled to God, I've been justified. I think John's message is, live according to your call. The wicked are wicked. The righteous are righteous. Those who are justified before God ought to live like they're justified before God. And it might be, as I said before, like me, you read that and you felt really challenged by it. Oh, that last verse. Can I propose, if you're challenged by it, it's because you're a real believer. The charlatan doesn't care. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. Oh, Lord, I know my life isn't where it ought to be. Oh, that's what the real believer will do. So we ought not to sin. We ought not to be deceived by those who make light of sin. We ought to remember that, actually, sin is of the devil. But we are not of the devil. We are the little children of verse 7. We ought to be righteous because he is righteous and because we abide in him. And yes, we won't get it all right. We will struggle. We will sometimes trip. But he is a gracious God. And he is a loving Father. And the parable of the prodigal. I'm sure if we all heard it for the first time as an adult, we'd have thought, you know what, he comes back and the father should have given him a wallop and sent him away. That's what he deserved. But he didn't. He threw his arms around him. He was the son. He should never have done what he did. But he repented. And the father had him back. We ought not to sin. But if he is faithful and just. And willing and able to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen.